Lost Boys. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About. I will be your refusing to grow up host. My name is Seb. Joining me is my co-host Wendy. I mean Elliot.
Cool. Peter Pan, more like Peter Pun-tastic.
Oh, he's done it again! Yes, we're back and stronger than ever. We're talking about a Disney classic from 1953, I think. Quite an old one. And this is a movie that we're going to discuss. We're going to dive in with lots of detail. It'd be good, I guess, if we just recap our history with this film. Mr. Elliot, what's your history with Peter Pan?
Okay, well, Google just unlocked memory in me I'd completely forgotten about. Is I thought, oh, I've not got up any details on Peter Pan. Maybe I'll have that ready in case you ask me some crazy questions. And I clicked on the first thing that came up, and it was the live-action Peter Pan from 2003.
Ah.
And I had, slash, have, potentially, this on DVD. And I completely forgot all about it. Nor do I remember anything about the movie whatsoever. Did you ever watch the 2003 Peter Pan one? You're my age.
Is that... did you say this was live-action?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture. It's an awful picture. So no one else can see this. Listeners, if you wanted to look at this, you can Google yourself Peter Pan 2003. Unless you're driving, don't do that. This. Can you see that? Our cameras.
You know what? Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it, but this is potentially ringing some visual bells.
The Hook is an actor. That I've seen. He does things.
Jason Isaacs,
yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what he's done. But anyway. And I've somehow stumbled upon... Apparently there's 24 Peter Pan movies, because I found an IMDb list of the worst to best, with the worst being from 2018, which is Peter Pan, The Quest for the Never Book, ranked at 3.1.
Oh.
Sorry, rated at 3.1. With number one being, of course, the one we're discussing today, at 7.3.
Ooh.
Now, I hear the question you asked. What's my history with that movie? Well, I can't remember. I've seen it, but this isn't a film... Like, the other Disney movies, like, you know, Pinocchio and things, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I watched that a lot, or oh, I went to the cinema to see that. Obviously, I didn't go to the cinema to see this one. I don't remember ever owning it, but I know I definitely saw it as a child, but it wasn't, like, one of my regulars, if that made sense. I don't think I've seen this one a ton. Although saying that, the Never Smile at a Crocodile song, I feel like, was a theme of my childhood. So potentially I've lied to you about everything.
Wow.
But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I remember watching this as a kid. There are certain scenes that unlocked memories as I was watching it. I don't know if we own this one or not, but it's definitely one I remember watching as a kid. I was trying to think about like the story, and all I could think of was the villainous board game that you mentioned, because that's like literally everything I remembered, other than the crocodile with the clock and all that kind of stuff, Tinkerbell, a few of the characters here and there. So I was going into this like with the broad strokes, but not much of the actual detail. I wouldn't have seen this as an adult, I don't think. And that's my history with this film. I don't think I've seen any other adaptations. I know they did, was it Pan, like a few years ago with that guy, Hugh Jackman. Is that a thing?
Maybe. I know they did the, when they were doing all the live action movies, like Beauty and the Beast and all that, they did one a few years ago called Peter Pan and Wendy, which kind of like flew under the radar. Pun intended. And then just appeared on Disney Plus, and it's ranked really badly, rated really badly. Well, I suppose both in a way. So no one really likes that one. I've not seen it, but apparently that's not good. Of course, you have got the infamous Hook movie, which has the Robin Williams, not the man who sings Angels. No. No. Well, that's like a comedian.
Yeah, because I don't know if I've ever seen that. I know I've seen bits of it, and it was like one of those things that would be on TV. But for a lot of people, that's like quite a beloved film. So I'd like to go into that, especially after watching this today. I would quite like to give that a go at some point.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, it's like they always say, you can never go wrong with a live-action remake.
Yep. That's one thing I've learned from this podcast.
So, we both kind of watched this as a child. Not really since. I mean, I watched it, you know, as listeners will know, about a decade ago when me and the missus, we got all the Disney movies. We watched them all then. So, this was one of them. Other than that, I've not watched it since. And I probably hadn't watched it for a decade prior to that, if not longer. But, of course, everyone's dying to know, Mr. Seb. What is your opinion of this movie?
Oh, you know what? I liked it. It was nice. It started off very quaint. Very like, oh, this is a very old-fashioned. Got these like funny accents. That kind of transatlantic accent. The dog is the nanny, which is quite funny. And I was like, don't remember any of this. Because I was kind of thinking, how did I get to Neverland? So I didn't remember any of that. And I really liked this film. I thought it was quite funny. There was lots of humour with Hook and Smee and various other characters later on in the film. It's quite a lot of fun. There's some stuff in it that's like, oh, wouldn't do that today. But I think, overall it was quite fun. The main character, Peter Pan, is quite an interesting character. Because there's one of the better bits of trivia I've read about this one, saying, so the film was a modest success, but Walt Disney himself was dissatisfied with the finished product because he felt like Peter Pan as a character was cold and unlikable, which is interesting. It said, though, however, experts on Jane Barry praise this as a success, as they insist that Pan was originally written to be a heartless sociopath, which, I get from this film. So it's very interesting having the hero be that way compared to all the other films we've seen. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. I think all the stuff with Hook is comedy gold, and it's a fun little world I would like to go visit myself. So that's my review. What did you think?
Oh, so this for me was pure Disney. I'll tell you what this is. This is when you've gone to work all day. You want to find something that you're going to enjoy that you can quickly make at home for food. Yeah. So you pop to Tesco. You've realised you've not got many pennies left in the old account. So you go to their frozen section and you just kind of get like one of their £1 pepperoni pizzas. And you whack it in and you take it out. And you know what? There's no such thing to a degree as a bad pizza. And you eat it and it's good. It's pepperoni pizza. It's what you wanted. Is there better? Yes. But this does the job. We've talked recently about Disney movies such as like Dinosaur and things, where they experimented, and because of the animation or the way the story went or how characters were, it didn't feel very Disney-like.
Yeah.
Whereas this had, throughout it, that Disney magic.
Mm.
But this isn't what I would call, for me personally, an amazing film. It's all right. Mm. It does the job. But it's a very comfortable film as well.
Yeah.
It's one where, even though I'm not like, oh, I love this movie, I want to watch it again, it's not like that at all. If someone said, oh, I'm just going to whack on Peter Pan, I'd be happy with that. I think it's a great comfort background movie. You can kind of like talk through it because, you know, everyone knows the story of Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah, and like you said, the stuff with Hook is like the best parts. Yeah. I don't think there's any scene with Hook on that is not top tier. That is not peak. Okay.
Yeah.
It's all fantastic. Some bits that haven't got Hook aren't amazing, and we'll talk about that a little bit in spoilers, but I think it's it's not an amazing film in my opinion, but it's a classic for a reason. It's got that Disney charm. It's not super long. It's comfort viewing. It's your £1 pizza. Can't go wrong.
Well, you heard it here. You heard it here first.
You hit it her.
Heard it here. Yeah, no, I think that's a good analogy. This is very comfortable. I think like this and some of the films like maybe Lady and the Tramp or the Aristocats or something, or maybe 101 Dalmatians. It's a film where like you could put it on for the afternoon. It would keep the kids occupied. Like if you turn on the TV and this was playing, you'd be like, yeah, let's watch Peter Pan. There's like wacky stuff going on. I think other films like Mulan is like, it's a journey and an experience you want to watch from start to end. And you get very emotionally invested in it. Same with like Lion King and stuff like that. Whereas, yeah, this is very comfy. Nothing groundbreaking. Some of the characters are a bit, there's not much to them. Like with Wendy, she's like the most well-spoken child I've ever seen. The main character is a sociopath. But yeah, it's still quite a nice little film, and there's some cool stuff that they do with it. And I think it's got like the magic stuff. And you think about how iconic some of the stuff is, like Tinkerbell appears in so many things. Think about like the different like adverts or things where she sprinkles the dust on it, and just the iconography of Pan, and I guess probably Hook as well. It's got that little dash of magic, even if it's not that that heavy of a film.
Yeah, it's a movie that massively impacted animation, I think, and just movies in general and entertainment. It's like when you listen to perhaps an album from like the 50s. Compared to music now, it might not have much to it, but that probably had a massive impact on music going forward, where a lot of the stuff we hear today wouldn't have been like that. You know, I always think there's a song by the Beatles called I Want You, She's So Heavy. A beautiful title for a song.
Yeah.
It was off the Abbey Road album. And, you know, it wasn't one of my favourites off the album. Then there was another band who a few years ago covered it. And it's like, it's the exact same song, but now hearing it with today's quality and perhaps how they even imagined it back then, oh, it's incredible. But again, just because the other one's older doesn't mean anything. That changed music. You know, the Beatles, Elvis Presley and all that, it changed music. I mean, we wouldn't have what we have now without it. And I think Peter Pan's exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's stuff now I would rather watch, but you know, you've got to respect it. It very, you know, very good. Anyway, anything else you would like to discuss before we head into spoilers?
With these older ones, I look at like the cast list and it's like, yeah, I don't recognize any of these people because this is like an entire like lifetime before the other films we've seen. So we're not seeing any of those names that we recognize. Even from like some of the older stuff, like the 70s or 80s, there'd be a few actors and actresses on there. But yeah, with all this, like all the pictures are like black and white. So I imagine these are probably like at least big names at the time. So it's quite interesting having that where you don't know any of them. Because we've talked before about other animated films where sometimes you just hear the actor, especially if it's like Chris Pratt or like Will Smith or something. So it is quite nice just having the characters in your head as they are, how they sound, which was quite nice. You mentioned the animation. It was very cool. Lots of really nice stuff to it. Some really good shots. One of them looked almost CGI-like, which was, I guess they were really pushing the boundary of 2D animation at the time, which was very cool. I have some trivia stuff. We could probably save some of this until spoilers. Apparently, in the originally planned version, Nana travelled with the children to Neverland, which would have been an interesting one to see, but had a much darker ending. So I guess we can dive in a little bit more in a little bit. Other than that, yeah, I think all the trivia is just like stuff about like film rights and other things. I thought it was interesting that Peter Pan has pointy ears. Don't think that was explained.
Yeah. Well, he's an elf, isn't he?
Ah. Well, there you go then.
There you go. The other thing, to be fair, the music, classic Disney music from this time period. You know, you've got the, is it I Can Fly? We Can Fly? You Can Fly, whatever person they're talking to and directing this song to. whether it be a group, themselves, or to each other, is, again, another Disney staple. You know, really magical song. And yeah, I think the music throughout it's been pretty good as well. You know, I mentioned earlier about Never Smile Like a Crocodile.
Mm.
There's just like, there's a particular bit of music that comes on whenever the crocodile appears.
Yes.
And it's phenomenal. It's accompanied by other things as well, which we'll talk about in spoilers. But yeah, anything with Hook in, the crocodile, or Nana, the dog in. Just, yes. Oh,
I really felt for Nana. I was so sorry for her. But yeah, I think the choral music was quite very, it's that very homey, kind of comfy vibe that we've had from some of the other songs in the other films. But yeah, I really do like the You Can Fly one. And yeah, that light motif of like the crocodile with like the kind of piratey music with the clock is very fun. And all the piratey kind of singing was a bit of a laugh as well. Didn't love the Native American songs as much, I don't think, but they were still a bit of a laugh. So yeah, that's our non-spoiler thoughts on Peter Pan.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Peter Pan, you know, give it a watch. If you're with us by this point, you must be slightly intrigued. It's a Disney movie, and it's a classic for a reason. So it may not be our favourite, but I think we both should be happy to watch it again. It's comfort viewing. Give it a go. Get under a blanket. Get some popcorn. Get your beverage of your choice and give it a watcherino.
Yeah.
But if you're with us so far and you've already seen the movie, or you're just a crazy person that doesn't mind spoilers, well, stick with us because we're now going to really deep dive into this film. So, shall I spoil something first?
Go for it.
I'm gonna do it. Tinkerbell is a real cow, huh?
She really is. Oh my goodness.
I was thinking about it when you were talking about it earlier, how Tinkerbell is now such, you know, a staple in modern entertainment, like how much he's used in adverts or in Disney productions or anything like that. And really, in the movie, she doesn't deserve that recognition.
No, she is the jealous woman who betrays people and wants them to die because she's in love with Peter Pan. And I forgot about that. I didn't remember that at all. So that was quite a surprising turn for the character.
Yeah. So kind of what we've got is, you know, Peter Pan, who's just kind of like not really thinking about anyone else. Well, no, that's, I suppose, not entirely true. But, you know, he's not the most filled with love person in the world. You've got Tinkerbell, who's just overly jealous. You've got the wild boys, who are quite happy to kill anyone Peter Pan asks to.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why this is a kids' film.
It's certainly an interesting choice for all the main characters, isn't it?
Yeah, considering this is the idea of, like, paradise for children, in a way.
Well, maybe, but, that's the idea. Because did you ever read Lord of the Flies?
No, I did want to, but I didn't.
Yeah, so I never read it at school or anything, but I had to actually read this to my class last year, despite the fact I'm not an English teacher. And it's quite an interesting story. For anyone who doesn't know, it's set on like an island. It's like during the war, some kids are being evacuated and the plane crashes on this island. And it's all like young boys. They're like tween/teenage. And it's talking about how quickly society like unravels and they become like murderers and everything. And it's like, I wonder if that's the kind of vibe they're going for, where it's like, it wouldn't just be cutesy having a laugh. They're all like savages, like probably, you know. So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, why not? We did see one good role model in this movie. And no, it's not Wendy. It's actually Nana, the
literally,
dog.
Literally, yeah.
That was, as a 30-year-old, she was very relatable. Trying to clean up everything. Trying to get everything sorted. Within 2 minutes, it's already a mess.
Yeah.
Kind of ripping your fur out. And then you're the one who ends up getting told off.
Oh, I hate
and
that.
Sent out to the back garden. it's very depressing. But like, it just like took it on the chin. Just like, yeah, I suppose. It was very Eeyore-like.
It was.
I suppose.
Because it's when she's, the kids are jumping on the bed to mess up. So she goes and like, sorts out the duvet and the pillow, and then like as she turns around, they've then immediately wrecked it again. And how quickly she sorts all the blocks in order again, and how she's constantly trying to stop them from being knocked over. And then, yeah, the dad just blamed her. Oh, I felt for her.
Dear. I need to talk about it because it's one of my favourite things. The whole anything with a crocodile in. He's eating an alarm clock. And you know he's coming because you suddenly hear the alarm clock going.
Yes.
And you hear that do, 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 do.
And oh,
it is great stuff. And it's just, again, we've already spoken about it, but I need to highlight it. Like, the whole Hook stuff is so funny. Everything, when you've got Peter Pan trying to rescue the princess, and Hook's gone out somewhere. I can't remember where he's gone now. And then you've just got Smee in, and Peter Pan's doing Captain Hook's voice.
Oh, yes.
Which is very funny. And then Smee takes the Indian girl out, and then Captain Hook tells him to go back.
Yes.
And then Peter Pan does it again. And then the crocodile comes, and Wendy's then turning into Tinkerbell because she's getting jealous. It's just, oh, it's just,
it's
everything
it's
that's happening.
Yeah, it's this funny like love thing of like Tinkerbell is in love with Peter Pan. Wendy likes Peter. Peter seems to like Tiger Lily. And they're all like jealous of each other. In the meantime, yeah, Hook's trying to, was it, he captures Tiger Lily to reveal Peter's location. And yeah, I love that when Smee sells it back and then he just like keeps having a go at him. And then when Peter does his voice again, he goes, oh, one more thing, when you return to the ship, tell the whole crew to help themselves to my best rum. I was like, that's pretty fun. But then the slapstick on this is just really funny. Like when Hook's like running away from the crocodile, like smashes into the wall, it just really tickled me. And it's like, oh, this is, in another film, this would be like, oh, this is boring and lame. But for this, it's just so good. And it was almost like Looney Tunes kind of humour. There's like a bit where he's like fighting Peter and then like off the edge. He like runs back onto the edge again and then he's like escaping from the crocodile. It was very fun. I think as a kid, I would have loved that.
Yeah. See, I don't remember there being any deaths in this movie. But then I forgot that one of the pirates died as well.
Like quite early on.
Yeah. And, like, they're singing a song. They're like, you know, oh, he killed the pirate, or whatever it is they're singing. It's yeah. Like, oh, okay. That's a bit harsh. But, yeah, like I said, the whole anything to do with pirates, I love. The other stuff was okay. It was good. But what it really was like, a love square between Tinkerbell, Wendy, Peter Pan, the mermaids, apparently.
Oh, yeah. He's a real, just yeah.
Basically, we just learned that all girls under the age of 18 are just jealous constantly. And all the boys, they just listen to whoever's the tallest and will do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can run on water if you really run fast enough.
Yes, which, again, I love that kind of physics. It's quite interesting when, like, we're introduced to Neverland and it's all very lovely and everything. And then we just take this left turn to the pirates. And yeah, it's just so kind of out there. I love the bit where Hook's got like the splitting headache. So to avoid making it worse, Smee's making sure nobody disturbs the captain by hammering really loudly a sign, "Do not disturb," on his quarters. And then like he pours the boiling water into the bucket and you could just see Hook's like face turning red. Oh, it's so good. It's really silly.
It's pretty good. I could have done with a whole movie just based off that pirate ship, I think.
Oh, honestly.
I think I just would have loved the entire movie just based from Hook's perspective. So you just got Peter Pan every now and then.
Yeah.
Like this British girl in the corner just calling out, Peter, Peter, just like once every now and then. But in reality, it's just him trying to fight Peter, the other pirates, and the crocodile.
It's just this, like, his quest, and it's just he's being rage-baited by this little boy who keeps flying around, and he just, like, loses all objectivity. But in the meantime, he's being stalked by this crocodile who he's got PTSD for. So he's just, like, not having a good time at all. It's really fun for everyone else. But then you hear flipping Wendy, Peter! That one line that they keep looping throughout the entire film. It's quite fun. Up until we get to the Native American camp. And it's like, I'm surprised there wasn't like a warning message on this one, but I think they've stopped showing those on Disney Plus. But It's certainly dated somewhat. But that being said, I don't think it really showed any of it in like a negative light or anything. So I think, especially at the time, people would have probably just been fine with it. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I hadn't thought anything of it until you mentioned it. So maybe you're just too woke, if that's the expression.
Maybe, and I will go broke.
Maybe. I think that's it. But no, they definitely cashed in on the fact that, you know, Hook's the main one here, and that's why they did the Hook movie.
Yes.
But yeah. Also, I like just how crazy Peter Pan is, the fact that he just found it funny that he could just chop off Hook's hand and then just feed it to a crocodile, and that's just seen as childish play.
Yeah, he's just so nonchalant about it. He is an actual psychopath.
Yeah. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Do you have any more you'd like to share on Peter the Pan?
Peter the Pan, you say? I think we've covered most of the stuff. I like the map, where there's like five locations. And it's like, Where could Peter Pan be? I don't know, maybe it's the one place we haven't been to. It's just like...
the one in the centre of the island.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not on these five pictures. Or maybe it's this other picture I've not been to. But I do like how he, their whole plan to use Tinkerbell is actually quite smart, because it's just brilliant. Because I remember back to that scene where Peter banishes Tinkerbell, and he's like, oh, you're banished, I hereby banish you forever. And then Wendy goes, please, not forever. And he goes, well, for a week then. It's just like, okay. But then, yeah, they very cleverly like talk about how they're going to, whatever it was, and then Tinkerbell's like, oh, I can lead you there and it'll all be fine. And it's like, oh, he's got your jealousy's caused the death of the guy you love, and how he almost gets blown up.
Silly Billy.
But then the thing blows up in his thing anyway, and it's like, I don't know how Tinkerbell survived that, but it's all a bit of fun is the main thing. In terms of other stuff to talk about, what did you think of the ending?
What, where they just dropped off the British kids at home, and then the parents were like, whoa, Peter Pan is real. And then Peter Pan was like, I'm not ready to grow up. Yeah, I was right.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, no,
I can't really think of how else it could have ended. I don't know. Well, there's been so many variations. There must have been ones like what we did for the live-action Jungle Book, where Peter Pan decided to stay, and maybe then her parents brought him up. I don't know. And then maybe this one's like for Lost Boys, all had a family and then they all lived happily ever after. I don't know. It's probably others where Wendy never stayed with them. Or did stay with them. I don't know.
It's
what I expected.
Yeah, I think you're right, because you could do it in so many ways. The trivia on here says about it was done in the way where you'd actually theorise on whether any of this actually happened, or whether it's all Wendy's dream. The evidence for that is that we don't see them get back to the house. And the fact that the ship is like a kind of a cloud. But I quite like the idea that, like, you know, it did actually happen. But I do like the fact that George, the dad, actually recognises the shape. It suggests that he once had an adventure with Peter Pan when he was a child. This is further suggested by the film's opening narration, saying all this has happened before. I really like that scene of the mum and dad and Wendy, like they're all smiling, because the dad's not really smiled much throughout the film. And they're just looking up at the clouds like, that's a classic nice Disney ending. I'm happy with that.
That's good. And if you're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. Right. Anything else before I move on?
I am all Neverlanded out.
Amazing. Well, of course, those are our thoughts on Peter Pan. Of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts. So, Seb, how can we hear their thoughts?
Oh, well, that's a great question. You could take a trip to Neverland. If you put some ink on Tinkerbell's shoes, you could write a message on the map. Otherwise, you can message us online. We have an email at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com. And we have Instagram at lta.podcast, where we'll be posting the link to the latest episodes with potentially a poll of sorts.
Yeah. And as always, if you actually want us to read your messages, we highly advise you go to Instagram as opposed to the email.
Yeah.
But, you know, I check it bi-yearly, so...
Yeah, well, we've had some requests for films that we've watched or pushed to the top of the watch list, so you never know.
You never know. Right, well, now it's time for mine and Seb's favourite part. It's time for us to spin that wheel, where, since we've moved to this certain way of communicating, I'm going to be deafened as the wheel spins. But, of course, I'm here to tell you that we are going to watch a Disney movie. One that I am very excited for. It is finally The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Ah, the older one.
Yes.
Ooh, correct. That'd be interesting.
The one with the Heffalump song and the Tigger song. The one with all the classic stuff in.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So if you like honey and poo, well, you've got that to look forward to next week, if all goes well. So yeah, thank you for listening. We look forward to discussing that. I love Winnie the Pooh, so I'm very excited to watch that and to have a chat about that. But of course, here at Let's Talk About, we're really big on wellness and on mental health. And I know Seb's been putting some hard work in behind the scenes to really try and make sure that all our listeners here feel safe while they're listening. So perhaps, Seb, can I leave it with you to end our podcast with some encouraging words?
Peter! No, I do actually have a nice quote. I just thought that would be really a good way to sum it up. That being said, this might be from the book, not the actual film, but I'm going with it. The moment you doubt whether you can fly, you cease forever to be able to do it.
It's a bit haunting, but thank you. And thank you, listeners, for listening.
Bye.
Bye.